Now, my attention was pricked by news of the episode of The New Inventors tomorrow night on ABC TV. It's on at 8 o'clock on ABC One. One of the inventions that's coming under the spotlight is called the transporter. Now, don't get too excited about this, because even if you're actually taking a ride in this gizmo, well, you won't know about it because you'll be dead. Inventor Kevin Hartley from South Australia has come up with a new type of coffin. It'll take you some of the way, but perhaps not the entire distance. Kevin Hartley joins me on the line from South Australia. How are you, Kevin?
Christopher, I'm fantastic. How are you?
Pretty good, mate. Now, listen, as we speak, you've no doubt recorded this episode of The New Inventors, so I don't want to preempt the show, and I certainly don't want to try and get from you how you went. Was it a nice experience, though, talking about your invention on telly?
Absolutely fabulous. No, this is a really exciting time. I'm looking forward to watching this tomorrow night and to see whether I won or not.
That's right. How good you look under, if the makeup was good,
yeah.
Stuff like that. Listen, by all means, tell me something about this transporter and what makes it such an interesting new initiative in funerals.
Sure. Look, one of the interesting things that came out, I worked with a lovely researcher called Susan at the New Inventors, and she went over all the research that I'd done, and to the best of my knowledge, we're the only funeral company in Australia who's ever offered to bury people without a coffin.
Oh.
And what she confirmed for me pretty well was that she couldn't find anyone in the world who was burying people without coffins. So I think we're sort of stepping out there like Star Trek into, you know, places where no man's been before.
Okay. But the transporter itself is a coffin. It just has an unusual feature in it, doesn't it?
Well, I suppose I wouldn't call it a coffin. From the funeral business point of view, White Knight doesn't have coffins at all. What we use instead of a coffin is a biodegradable shroud made from jute and other fabric materials.
Right.
And the transporter is made from a very elaborate American casket. It's actually made out of metal.
Wow.
So that it's completely hygienic inside. It's just all shiny metal and vinyl. And it's really not a coffin as such. It's simply the device which is used for moving the shrouded body through the service and to the cemetery. The transporter itself is, as I say, outwardly appears like a very elaborate American-style casket.
Got it.
But we've built into the bottom of it a fairly clever trapdoor system, for want of a better description. And before anyone asks, no, the body doesn't fall through the bottom.
Right.
But you use the transporter much as a coffin through the service to the cemetery, and then it goes onto a specially modified lowering device, the sort you may have seen if you've been to a burial.
Right.
And at the graveside, the trapdoor aspect of the transporter is then unlatched, so it is able to be opened, and then when the lowering device is actuated, the bottom very gradually opens. The shrouded body is transferred from the transporter onto a stretcher bed, which is part of the lowering device.
Yep.
And in a process that takes about 60 seconds, the body is gently laid in the bottom of the grave.
Okay, so it's not sort of, you know, winching open and then thump.
No. Although, I've said that to people sometimes, and they say, are you serious?
Mm.
Not at all. Because I'm not.
Yeah. Now, you did this because, I mean, this is in accordance with, obviously, if you like, an environmental philosophy you had. It's that of natural earth burial. Mm. The idea being, I suppose, you don't want to keep on putting these huge pieces of wood, metal, and sometimes even concrete into the ground, yes?
Look, I've been in the funeral industry for about 23 years, and go out to a family's home to arrange a funeral, and I would say every third house I went to, you'd start talking about the type of funeral that the people would want, and invariably there'd be some wag who'd, you know, who'd say, Dad always said just dig a hole and pop him down near the back shed. Every third house, I tell you. Like,
is that so?
That many people. And there's, though it's said in jest at that time, there's always a bit of truth behind recurring jokes and things that people say.
Yeah.
When I began to research this, there is a genuine call. People think that burying a body in a coffin is stupid, and so do I.
Mm.
And 20 years of selling coffins, it's the one aspect of a funeral arrangement that I hated, because I'd opened this coffin book and I'm looking at a $200 chipboard box that's going to be lined with plastic. The family are going to pay $1,000 or $1,500 for it or more.
Mm.
And it's absolutely useless. If you're having a burial, the aim of the exercise is to return the body to nature. If you're going to do that, then the last thing you need is a coffin, because that's going to slow down the natural decomposition and return of the body. And I mean slow it down by 20 or 25 years.
Seriously?
Because that coffin is going to be plastic lined, and you're literally creating a little one-room apartment 6 foot under the ground. It's just if you want to return the body to nature, A, you don't need a coffin, and B, if you really want to do it, the worst thing you can do is use a coffin.
Yeah, because in fact, you're not giving anything to nature, are you?
It's not a thing.
Nature itself is no better off for having this lump of wood with plastic inside it being dropped in.
Absolutely right, and the traditional depth of burial at 6 foot isn't a legal requirement, it's just one of those things that people do. But yeah. At 6 foot in the ground, you're into what's called an anaerobic area of the soil where there's no air and no natural decomposition. You need to be burying the body at a shallower depth, a medium depth grave, and in most states in Australia, that's around 900 mils of soil over the top of the body.
That's it?
Yeah.
Not even about 3 foot?
That's right.
That's it?
Because then you're up in the area of the soil and where you've got active aerobic activity of the natural, insects and organisms that would break down the body.
Mm. I'm reminded, this is interesting, because in a sense you can refertilize, if you do it the right way, you can refertilize the earth. You could almost start up a new park, couldn't you? Some people who follow this philosophy say that, look, don't even worry about a gravestone. Just put in a nice tree or a shrub or something to mark the spot. And people think, how inhumane and, how belittling. But I think, a lot of people, when their cat dies or their dog dies, and I'm actually not being flippant here, because in many cases a dog and a cat is very much a beloved member of the family.
Yeah.
What do? You dig a hole in the backyard, and you might not even wrap the animal. You might just sort of gently place this beloved corpse into that shallow grave, cover it up again, and pride yourself on the... I mean, they often say it, don't they? Lassie's down there feeding the roses.
Too right. Look, I've stood at countless funerals where the minister has intoned those words, earth to earth, and in the back of my mind I'm thinking, no, it's not.
Yes.
Plastic-lined coffin to earth.
Yeah.
It just makes no sense. But the interesting point you make there is that we've, over here in South Australia, we've recently just formed what's called the Natural Earth Burial Society, and I've helped form that with a group of like-minded people, and we've begun lobbying the state government for a parcel of land to establish a dedicated natural earth burial cemetery south of the city. What's really prompted this was a piece of research from one of the major cemeteries here, where they did an ecological evaluation of the environmental impact of cremation versus burial.
Yes.
A cremation per case generates about 160 kilograms of CO2 plus a whole host of toxic waste.
Right, so that's not doing anyone any favours.
Not a cracker. They then went on to say, and this is the really interesting part, that a burial at this stage would generate, at the initial stage, 39 kilograms of CO2. But then went on to point out, the consultants, that over the period of time in the maintenance of that cemetery, with lawn mowing, the creation of headstones and beams and things, that in the longer term, this would actually even be worse than cremation. And really, that piece of research screams out for the obvious, which is we're doing this wrong. Let's stop burying people in high-maintenance, traditional burial cemeteries, because it's one thing for us to consume while we're breathing and to support our life, but to be having practices with our dead where they're continuing to consume post-mortem is just absurd. The dead people are taxing us for our CO2.
There is logic in that, isn't there?
There's no logic in what we're doing.
Well, yes, but I mean, there's logic in what you say, in that we should perhaps be regarding ourselves post-mortem as marvellously opportunistic pieces of fertiliser.
Yeah. Well, look, the Natural Earth Burial Cemetery that we're moting for construction in Adelaide would actually be a carbon-negative exercise, which is not a term that I've ever heard. Everyone talks about carbon neutral as though that's the holy grail, but if we really want to stop the problem, we need to be putting back, not just keeping our nose above water.
Kevin, I'm reminded of the composer Wolfgang Mozart, who when he died at the age of only 35 in 1791, was bunged into a Hessian bag.
Yep.
I think he was taken out in a sort of a coffin to a place just outside Vienna, to a common grave, which was not unusual in those days. Where they pitched in the body in the bag. I think they had a sort of a trapdoor in this coffin. They dropped him in, threw some lime over him, which apparently hastens the decomposition process, and then covered him over. Of course, the big mistake they made was they didn't actually make a note of where they put him. So now that nobody knows. But in a sense, it was, an earth-to-earth burial, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Technology's on our side now, because in our natural earth cemetery that we're looking at, we'd actually mark the actual location of the interment by GPS.
So you could always go to the
absolute location forever, and then just have, you know, common sense, low maintenance memorial kiosks where people could have a little plaque if they liked.
Yeah. It's fascinating. We must talk about this again soon, but we'll wait and see how you go tomorrow night on the New Inventors.
Yes.
The Transporter. And look, good luck with the Natural Earth Burial Cemetery. If it looks like it's coming to pass, we might talk again, Kevin.
Oh, look, I'm sure it is going to come to pass. And, really, the New Inventors is an excellent opportunity. I'm delighted with that. And what it does answer for people is, I say, every person I talk to says Natural Earth Burial is a terrific idea, not a problem. But then they say, oh, yeah, but hang on, how's the funeral going to look? You know, are you going to be carting Dad around in a wheat sack?
Yeah.
And the Transporter answers that. So you can have this very practical, very ecological-based funeral, but
also
still
keep
have a service that has the requisite dignity.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Keep the sense of ceremonial and ritual about it.
Yeah. Yeah, because, look, I've been doing this a long time. I like a well-presented funeral.
Sure.
The problem with cheap coffins is they look cheap.
Yeah. Kevin, good luck to you.
Thanks
put you
so
on
much,
hold.
Chris.
Hopefully, we're going to keep talking about this. Hopefully, you'll hear some of it. Thanks for your time, the Savo. Cheers.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye. That's Kevin Hartley, who's invented the Transporter, sort of the bottomless coffin, which will be featured on The New Inventors tomorrow night.